Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This week we're opening up the cabinet, reaching our hand in, and we're pulling out the ever so loved, ever so popular, ever so now dangerous Pokemon. Yeah. We're going to be talking about the Pokemon TCG, probably a little bit about the video games. It's really hard not to talk about the video games when talking about Pokemon in general. It is what really brought it forth, along with its cartoon. But we're going to sit here and chat a little bit about it. I've only played a little bit of Pokemon, but I really enjoy what it does to begin with. I think the best thing I've heard about it is, more or less, it's kind of a Magic the Gathering light.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The basics for it is a 60-card deck with no more than 4 copies of each individual card other than your basic resource, which in this case is going to be your energy cards. And then draw 7 cards. The slight difference is you've got an active Pokemon, and then you've got your bench, which is 5 Pokemon. And you don't have hit points. You have prize cards, which I really like the prize card system. I think that's a really fun way to do it. The only thing I don't like about it is it feels like you get a little bit of a cavalcade as you start winning. Whenever you get 6 prize cards, whenever you knock out a Pokemon or a EX Pokemon, you get to draw a card or 2, depending on which one you knocked out. And then that goes into your hand, which is really cool. But the fact that that kind of means that the more you win, the more potent you kind of get is, I like that mechanism, but I prefer the like Vyshvart style of it, where it's as you get damaged, you get more potent because you're the one taking damage and kind of building up that resilience.
Okay. I've never actually played the card game.
Oh, it's so much
like,
fun.
I was that kid that just collected the cards. I never actually played any of it. I just was like, these are real fun to collect, and well, I like it.
And that's what I really dig about Pokemon, is that it is wonderful for getting really, really little kids into it.
Yeah.
One, they're probably going to play one of the games. It's, you know, they're one of the most popular 7 to 10-year-old games that are out there for kids. They have their cartoons, which if you're just a afternoon, you know, you get home and get even just an hour of cartoons, you're probably going to see Pokemon at some point and get hooked. And you're able to slowly build up a collection at a younger age of like 5 and 6 to 7, when you're like, oh, these are just really cool to collect. And then by the time you're like 8 or 9, you're like, oh, there's a game to these I could actually be playing.
I went to a really weird private school that did not allow games like Pokemon because they thought that they were evil.
I mean, there is a lot of way to go, Hannah. Bring this right off the bat.
Well, okay, so like my school, because they're called the Pocket Monsters, and they're like, oh, these are... It was during the tail end of the Satanic Panic. There was a lot of stuff going on, and I went to a very religious private school.
Pokemon's had problems past that.
No, I know. This is when I was a kid, right? This is when I was trying to collect Pokemon cards. So there was no one I knew in my personal life that played Pokemon. I was allowed to collect the cards because I thought the artwork was really cool, but I couldn't bring them to school with me or they would get confiscated.
Yeah. See, when I was a kid, the thing that was kind of going on was PETA, actually, was taking an affront and pushing on Pokemon.
Oh my God, I remember that. Because they're like, oh, it teaches kids how to capture and fight animals, and it's inhumane.
And then the newest wave that I'm actually way more impressed and significantly more okay with this being a problem to people is lately, it's the Pokeballs that are causing problems.
Oh, because you trap them in the tiny little, like...
Technically, now that, like, so enough people have done enough research on how Pokeballs work, you de-atomize them, break them down into more or less that little red ball of energy and nothing else, and then not until you open it does it reconstitute them back into an actual being.
God, no wonder they don't like it in there.
Yeah, instantly a lot of people were like, no wonder Pikachu hates it in there. Like, it's awful.
Like my little kid brain, when I did it, I always thought that it was like, shrink ray magic to where it like shrunk them down and they had like a little habitat like, inside the ball little, or something.
Yeah, little balls of holding, essentially, if you're a D&D fan. Like, it's a bag of holding, but in a little ball where my Pokemon go.
That's so much worse.
Yeah, it's so much worse. Yeah, you actually break them down to an atomic level, break them into just the atoms and store that into the ball. And then when they're released, it rebuilds them with the basic building blocks that you put in there. One, I want to note that that's really impressive on Pokemon's behalf.
No, really impressive.
Like, whatever scientists managed to pull that off in their universe, that's nutty.
And the thing is, too, it's like, yeah, there's some Pokemon that just don't like being in the Pokeballs, but by and large, it doesn't appear to cause any kind of physical pain.
My question is how, like, this is going to be a morbid question.
Oh, no.
But, like, how many Pokemon during the trial phase of Pokeballs came out wrong?
Oh, a lot, probably.
Like, blah! Oh my god, why is its leg on its head?
They probably only used Rattatas and and Pidgeots.
See, I'd use a Diglett, because then you'd really be able to know if anything went wrong.
Oh no. No.
But yeah, like, that was the question that started bringing to me, and then I put it to the side, so I stopped thinking about my favorite childhood cartoon.
This is a fantasy world. It got it right on the first try. They did a ton of
everything was perfect.
They did a ton, just years and years of theoretical physics research before they did any live testing.
But that's the newest craze for anti-Pokemoners is
okay, so I can get behind that in the sense of like, are you joking?
Same.
But also, guys, I don't know if you know this, Pokemon aren't real.
They don't really have feelings or bodies
or exist. So, I think that we're gonna be okay.
But yeah, that's
I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those things that when I first thought, like, when it first was brought to my attention, I probably spent way too much time just being like, I am overly curious about this now and kind of disturbed.
They pawned it off on Team Rocket to test it because they don't have any morals.
So it's... Here's the other anti-Pokemon one, primarily for anti-Pokemon Go. This is actually a really cool bit that leads into their actual lore and history, is what's really cool about it, is that they say that this, one, most Pokemon games take part in either the main realm that they've done, but plenty of them also take place in parallel realities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, what was the last one that I played that they did that? It was, the one with Mega Evolutions.
I know very little of anything past the OG Pokemon. Like,
it was whatever came after Black and White is when they started doing that. But either way, around that time, they explained that there were like multiple realities and stuff like that due to the, like, essentially the Mega Evolution stones that you needed to get. This X Factor thing happened in the past, and whether this guy saved this thing or wasn't able to save this thing depends on whether Mega Evolutions were in their reality or not.
Okay.
So, like, they have kind of explained that it's on a multi-reality thing, but Pokemon Go...
That would explain how Ash Ketchum is still a 12-year-old kid.
Yes, that's kind of what they're using to do with it. They have let him have a birthday. He's now 13 or 14.
Good job, Ash. Yeah, we're proud of you.
He's got a whole few years in him now. But, yeah, that's primarily why they're able to rehash him as such a little kid all the time, is that they're more or less, no, he's just restarting his adventure. We're just not showing that starting arc anymore, which is really cool in my opinion. But for Pokemon Go, it is kind of meant to lead as part of the game lore and stuff. Like, if you piece it all together, if you talk to a couple of characters in Pokemon Red and Green, they talk about how there was an ancient war, and one of the characters wears all yellow, one of the characters wears all blue, and happens to be one of the final four. If you go into your Pokemon stuff and start looking at the leaders, these are probably the people you're fighting later on.
Okay.
Like, they have some of the same last names. One of them looks identical. Like, one of the yellow guys, his name is Surge. He's really popular.
Oh, yeah. I know Lieutenant Surge.
Yeah, Lieutenant Surge. He talks about constantly how he was in a war and he is decked out in full yellow, not just because he's an electric Pokemon guy, but that's because those were his colors when he was in the military, air quotes.
There were air quotes involved.
And the other guy wears a long blue cape like the leader of the Mystics. And they kind of talk about how there was this big war about how to use candy and whether candy was going to be accepted anymore or not. And it's kind of been theorized that Red and Blue, because we don't see any red characters, mm-hmm. essentially ganged up and fought against Valor for the right to no longer use candies, because candies were Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Because
they were ground up Pokemon.
Because you can convert your candies into Pokemon into candies.
And so essentially people are like, does that mean that we're using these Pokemon, like we've learned to break them into Pokeballs? Are we just deciding to break those molecular structures down into a candy to evolve to punch other Pokemon? Oh,
that makes me sad, because I've considered it in Pokemon Go that you like go to the Pokemon Center and you're like, hey, I want to like trade this Pokemon in because I don't have room for it. And they're like, cool, here's some candy. Like, that's where my brain was going with it.
Nope.
Oh, no.
How are you getting that candy, though?
Like, I thought they just made it. I thought they just produced it. I thought they, you know, they're like, hey, we know the elemental type of this Pokemon, so we're going to give you candy that's been formulated to help this Pokemon.
Why wouldn't we just have electric candy and fire candy that would work for all of those Pokemon if we're working with those fire?
Because that would mess up the game analytics.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, why am I specifically getting Charmander candy from grinding down a Charizard?
Oh, no.
So that's one of those like anti-Pokemon things that they're going with that.
Man, the more I learn about the Pokemon universe, the darker this place gets.
That's really dark, but it's also really, really cool and leads to the theory that Team Rocket is Valor. Like, that's where a lot of people went with it, is because you see Blue and Green have joined, or Blue and Mystic and Instinct have gone to be trainers and do their own thing and work within the society that's still there. One of them's even part of the top four, like the four final battles trainers. Yeah. So they're obviously willing to work within the system that has now been within place.
Yeah.
Yet we have this big team with a big old red R as their main logo, who is fighting back against the current build of their like societal thing. So some people theorize that it's become that Team Rocket is actually Team Valor from back in the day before the Great War and the split, and then the kind of disassembly of the tribe,
of the tribes thing,
and became more of a, this is how the Pokemon world is going to function. Like, this is how society.
So they're trying to steal Pokemon so that people don't grind up their Pokemon into candies.
No, Valor's trying to grind Pokemon into candies. Okay, they're the more. They were like, whatever, this is how it functions. Let's just leave it how it is.
This is how
we power our Pokemon. That's what makes us, that's what lets us get such strong Pokemon. So we want to keep doing that, which is why in the later games you get like rare candy and stuff like that. It becomes one of those rare candies that we get in Pokemon Go that are universal.
They
literally for a rare candy says a rare candy that boosts your thing. It doesn't really have any notes about it. So it's a very vague, like, it came from somewhere. You leave us with no information, guess what we're going to do?
Theorize.
And it's not going to be great.
I mean, okay. In actual nature, right? There are a lot of animals that practice cannibalism in nature. You know, it's just kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
But I still don't really like the idea. Now I'm gonna have such a hard time getting rid of Pokemon ever again in Pokemon Go. I'm gonna be like, Welp, I guess I'm just buying another backpack.
Sorry to anybody who I ruined that for, by the way. I'm sorry. Haven't said that that's what's happening, but I'm just saying they're not saying that that's what's happening. So,
oh no,
make your own theory, enjoy the theory you prefer.
Welcome to this children's game.
Let's go back to the children's part of this. It was originally produced in Japan by Media Factor,
mm-hmm.
And then it was brought over here and originally produced by Wizards of the Coast, who produces Magic.
Okay.
Which I think is what kind of led to that like 60 card, 7 draw bit, is just working with their US distributor who already had a game that was like this that they could kind of work into, like, what's working with you guys and why does your guys' game work? Well, we're going to use the open license availability to help our game work that way and make it a little easier. Also, Wizards probably picked it up because that means that there's a new 60 card game coming in that they can sell to the younger ages, because it is far more targeted at children. Not that us adults don't play. Like I said, I like to play every now and then.
Yeah. But it is very much targeted towards kids.
They're cute little monsters for a reason.
And even the rule sets is a lot more simplified than Magic to make it easier for children to play.
Yeah, I was watching, refreshing my brain on it, making sure I was right in my rules and stuff before we were doing this. And yeah, it's essentially Magic without a second main phase and no instant sorceries.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, you just take those two things out of Magic and you more or less are playing Pokemon. You've got the evolution stuff and things like that that kind of change it up, but for the most part, I mean, it's no different than Magic's mutate ability. Yeah. Oh, I pay this amount, it goes on top of this card, it's now all one. And so Wizards was probably thinking, you know, oh, we can get them playing this lighter, easier version, and then we can get them to buy Magic and get into the bigger game and to the one that's a real money sink and to push that forward.
Yeah.
Now it's run by Pokemon...
International. Pokemon Company International.
Pokemon Company International. Yeah. And so now Pokemon just does it themselves. It's their whole run, which is crazy if you think about it.
Did Konami get in on that? No.
Konami is... Those other guys. Yes, those guys. Okay. Yu-Gi-Oh. They went that way.
Sorry, Pokemon Company International.
Oh, yeah. Now it's run purely by them. And that's a crazy thought to think that this card game/cartoon, this whole genre, I guess is the best way to put it. Like this whole
movement of Pokemon.
History and lore of it all started with one game by a relatively small gaming company that produced 3 or 4 games, and then they got a card game. Somebody was like, hey, we want to make a card game. And they're like, sure. We don't know what we're doing with this other than making video games. And now it's gone past those guys into its own big personalized company. Like the fact that they were like, oh, we have to distribute through this person and this person to start with. And now they're like, nope, we do it all.
We are in control of Pokemon. Which I'm also kind of glad about because
it means Wizards... you have one person to yell at.
Yeah, but Wizards is great, but like...
That's nice of you. That's real nice of you.
I'm trying to be nice in case Wizards ever listens to our podcast.
Wizards, you ain't ever going to pay attention to me. I don't like you.
I mean...
I like your games. I like your
company. Love your games. Love your games. Okay. I could go on a whole long rant about Wizards. We're not going to do that. But I'm glad that they don't have control over two of the biggest card games on the market.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of teetering with that feel right now. Because should Wizards still have had a hand in it, like in this kind of year and stuff like that, production might not be as messed up as it is.
That's fair.
Because Magic didn't really have a, like, they had a small lull, but it was very quickly back to working order.
But Wizards of the Coast is also a this side of the ocean production company. Pokemon Company International is primarily based in Japan.
Japan had some of the worst issues
with the shutdown.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying if Wizards had still been able to keep some sort of hand in it and had at least a production over here, we could have been seeing a much better bit, which is going to lead me into, we'll probably revisit this here in a minute because that is going to be part of our kind of close up for the day.
Yeah.
It's a small little PSA about Pokemon and its current dangers. We'll get to that here in a bit. Let's have fun.
Let's have fun first
before I have to be even more depressing.
So Pokemon is this beast, and it's so... It's kind of intimidating at this point. Like, there's a lot to do in Pokemon that...
And that's what I give them a lot of credit for. The fact that there is so much, yet it is still so easy to get into the game. Mm-hmm. It is not like Magic, where if you walk past Standard into any other format, you gotta start spending money. Mm-hmm. Real big money. If you want to get older cards to help your deck be, you know, even... up to date with somebody who's been playing 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
You know,
it is very even across the board.
Yeah. You might see new Pokemon for the new set, just, you know, as they would do for a new game. But for the most part, you see a lot of the old Pokemon with just newer, slightly different abilities updated for the new format and things like that. And it doesn't ever get to this massive pile where you're like, well, I have to go out and get a box of this set from 4 years ago so that I might get this one card that's now super relevant because of this other card. For the most part, it's pretty... No, you're playing with what the new stuff is. That's what's going to be the better, more fun stuff.
And I do appreciate that about Pokemon because it is. It's like, okay, well, back when I was a kid, I had a lot of the rare cards, a lot of the like holographic stuff. Because like I said, I was a collector. I collected stuff. But I like that you can still get those cards. Like you said, yeah. They're updated. They're different. They're not the exact same ones. But there's no scarcity.
Yeah.
Of being able to get a card.
There's 12 forms of Charizard now.
I was going to say, you have a holographic Charizard. Cool. Maybe yours is super rare because it was part of the first gen of Pokemon.
Yeah.
But
maybe it's super rare because it's part of the void that is Pokemon.
Right.
You know?
But a 10-year-old kid who maybe really wants to up his deck can still get a holographic Charizard.
Yeah.
Right now, today.
Out of a normal set and just play. And
unlike Magic, go. Where there's some cards that just, oh yeah, we don't make those anymore and we don't update them and we don't release them anymore. Yeah. If you don't have it, you're going to have to pay $400 to get it.
Yeah, they do a core set for Magic, which brings a lot of the same stuff back, but it's very selected. Like, the one time they didn't do Lane of War Elves, they picked a different card that did more or less the same thing. I threw a fit because I was like, no, this is stupid. Lane of War Elves has been part of this game literally since the beginning and deserves to be. It is a staple to this game and needs to be in this game. I do not like when they take it out for a core set and then bring it back like the next one being like, well, we did this guy and he's the same thing. I don't care. I want to see the same card.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see the same guy that I've seen so many times before, but I want to see him with his new art. I want to see that nostalgia come back to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what Pokemon does the best.
Which is really cool. And I do love that Pokemon, I mean, Magic does it also, but I love that Pokemon hasn't stagnated in like, these were our characters and we're just going to keep rehashing the same characters over and over again. They're like, no, 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 guys. New regions, new Pokemon, every single set has something new something
trainers,
fun.
New, yeah, all sorts of new stuff, but you still have a portion dedicated to your older fans.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a Pikachu of some sort, or one of the original starting three. There's going to be one of those guys every series.
I do love, so Eevee was always my favorite Pokemon when I was a kid. Like, I gotta love Eevee. And I love all of the new evolutions that they've come out with for it.
Right? Like, I was like, how are you gonna get any farther with it? Oh, you're just gonna keep making types.
You're just gonna keep making new, yeah, because they had fire, electric, and water when I was a kid, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. This is super dope. And then they're like, oh, and we're gonna release a dark type and a psychic type. And I was like, what? How could you possibly build on that? Oh, we're also going to release a grass type and an ice type and
their new fairy type.
Yeah. And I was just like, you guys are crazy. What are you going to do next? Like, I'm so excited to see where they take that first.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that they also do so well is having these elemental types and having things like that. They grow those where like Magic doesn't. You have your five colors plus your color
list. I also really love the combo ones that they've been coming out with where they're like dark and fairy type and psychic and whatever type. Like,
yeah.
Those are super cool to me. And that wasn't a thing. That wasn't a thing when I was a kid.
You know, you might get a rock ground type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always things that were super, super close together. And now they're like starting to do things that, air quotes, don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I have a flying steel dragon. Flying and steel are weak to each other. What is going on? You know, like, what is this abomination you've created? And then you're like, oh, that's the coolest abomination I could have seen. Like,
super cool.
You know, and how they managed to still figure out how that one Pokemon's still going to have one weakness, you know, at the very least, you know, like.
Well, and then they also have I really like how they've been taking classic Pokemon, moving them into the new regions and updating them for those specific regions, like the Alolan regions.
Yeah, and the Galar region,
yeah,
where they did the Zigzagoon. I was super stoked to see the different Zigzagoon and that he got an evolved form.
That last, I forget what the region was, but that Rapidash that looks just like a unicorn. Like, it's just like unicorn with like a rainbow mane and stuff. I was like, man, where was this when I was a Lisa Frank kid? Like,
I think that one was specific to the card game too. Like, I don't think that's making its way into the video game.
I think it was specific to the card game.
Or they might, you know what, I could see them doing it in the video game because they now do like live like internet events and stuff like that where it's like, hey, we're gonna put out this live event that if you go do, you can get this thing. Which brings us to, actually brings me to one of the cool things, which is why they took away Gotta Catch 'Em All. As soon as the first rendition of Fire Red and Leaf Green, when they re-released it, they had to strip Gotta Catch 'Em All from the actual box and title.
Oh my gosh.
Because they had their first event where they released Dragonite. And you could only get a Dragonite if you were at that event with a ticket and at the right time of day. The only time you could get it. Like, you had to be at the event, get the code, and then participate, essentially, in order to get the thing. And so because it was so limited now, there was one Pokemon you couldn't catch. They had to take it off.
Which I really like now, because originally there was, 150 Pokemon? Something like that. The OG 150. And so, the idea that you could go through and catch them all was not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and now we're going to do a quick little search real quick. Because I think I want to say that there's 500 plus now.
Which, I mean, the idea of it is, if there was 500 Pokemon, you could theoretically spend your life going on a search and eventually catch all of them. But you have these legendary Pokemon.
It's so much worse than 500 now.
Okay, I thought that there was thousands.
898 Pokemon. Individual Pokemon.
Which... you just can't, you could spend your entire life and possibly catch that many Pokemon, but then you have legendary stuff. You have, Lugia and Articuno and Zapdos and the newer ones that I have no clue whose names they are.
Rayquaza.
Yeah. That there's only technically one of them in existence in the game or in the show or in the movies or whatever. It's infeasible.
Yeah.
maybe Ash Ketchum can do it.
Well, and so, now they've... they have done a series where you could catch a dragon. So they thought about bringing it back. But by then, they'd already had several other events where they released other exclusive Pokemon. And so it became a thing of, if you really do want to collect them all and complete your Pokedex, you have to get out there and trade, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I do think that that's a great idea. That's why they always did with their two colors, being this one has Eevee, this one has Growth.
Yeah.
You know, and the back and forth on that, which I should have paid way more attention to as a kid. I love Growth, but I would have much rather had Eevee, especially now that we do so many cool things with Eevee. I like that that was something they were trying to force even in the video games, let alone the card games, where they're trying to get you to trade. And that's a cool thing about Pokemon. I see trades happen way more often than with Magic, way more. Some people are a little more stingy with it, where they'll get out a app calculator and help make sure that they're balancing dollar-wise.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a lot of people are like, I need that guy. This is relatively comparable. Cool, let's just flop real quick and be done with it.
Well, and that's the other nice thing about Pokemon cards versus Magic cards. I mean, if you're a serious collector and you're collecting it for the rarity and not the playability,
yeah,
I get that. But for the most part, most Pokemon cards are pretty comparable in a deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have cards that are a little bit more powerful and a little bit less powerful. But by and large, if I pulled out Pokemon card, a pack of Pokemon cards, and you pulled out a pack of Pokemon cards, and we just swapped cards around, we'd end up with a pretty comparable deck.
Yeah, exactly. And Magic players, I love you all. I'm one of you. But we are too obsessed with the dollar. Because our community tends to be far more adults.
I was going to say, again, kids game versus adults game.
Yeah. A lot of us tend to be more of adults, and we know how much we're spending on this money. We know the dollar amount that we're spending and how much our collections are generally worth.
But I think that also comes down to, we were talking about before, Pokemon just producing these cards constantly cuts down on the rarity of a lot of the cards.
Exactly. If you want to spend a good chunk to be you know what, I do want a first style Charizard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be more expensive to go get that one.
I'm pretty sure that some of the cards that I have in my collection at home, I could net a pretty decent price for because they're still in sleeves. They're still really nice. I kept really good care of them.
Yep.
But
And that's the other thing. I see Magic players all the time clucking off their collection, being like, I'm just done.
Yeah.
And as soon as they're done playing standard, they're like, I'm not even going to play casually anymore. I'm just done. I'm selling, clucking the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't see that happen a lot with a lot of Pokemon guys, unless it's we're on hard times. Things have gone wrong for us.
Yeah.
I guess I can make some money popping off my Pokemon cards.
I'm not going to lie. I keep my Pokemon cards on the same shelf that I keep a lot of my collectible D&D books, where I'm if for some reason I lose my job and I can't pay rent, I can go hook these on eBay.
Yeah,
and I can make some money.
At least a decent penny.
But I don't want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I'd rather not. I don't even collect Pokemon cards anymore. I just have my collection and I'm like, oh, look at this. Except my holographic Charizard, because my mom gave it away. I'm still mad about it. All these years later.
Mrs. Bridgman, why?
I'm so mad about it. She gave it to one of my little nephews because he was super into Pokemon, and she was like, oh, this one's a really pretty dragon, I'm gonna give it to him. And I was like, that was holographic Charizard.
Oh, that's You know what? At least it went to a good young soul who needed that help getting into Pokemon. That one card you lost probably sparked a whole new...
And then I've got my, like...
player.
My, like, little, my Mew card from when the movie came out in theaters. Like, that one that you could only get going to see the movie in theaters.
Getting I got with your
that
ticket.
One.
Yep. I have one of those
I
guys,
love
too.
That one. It's, like, all the, like, old carved stone drawing of Mew, and it's,
Well, now that we've had some fun talking about Pokemon and its TCG and its everything that it does, I'm going to bring us to a bit of a sadder place now.
Yep.
As I was saying, I don't see a lot of people who tend to use Pokemon to gain money. Sadly, that has changed by quite a bit. This is a thing that actually really bothers the crap out of me. Because I get really annoyed when people like upcharge for Pokemon cards and stuff like that. Like I said, it's primarily targeted towards children.
It's a kid's game.
Yeah. With the current shortage of Pokemon being the thing that it is, we are seeing crazy amounts of people who are coming from outside the community who are buying Pokemon, and people who are getting absolutely crazy about it and to an unacceptable level that actually, like I said, really irritates me, like especially as a longtime community to Magic and just the gaming world in general. It irritates me to see these people come in and cause the kind of problems they're starting to cause. One, they're taking away our products from our kids. You get guys who are coming in and being like, I want whole boxes of things because I'm going to try to make a dollar on
it. I'm going to sell it on eBay.
Your 12-year-old kid over here can't buy
a single pack.
A pack. I'm sorry, but they should be able to buy a pack.
Yeah.
And they can't get a single one. That is.
Yeah.
And I do not appreciate it. I do agree. Not approve of it. And now people have become violent about it.
Dude, yeah, Target has quit selling Pokemon cards because people were getting in fist fights.
Fist fights, and somebody recently pulled a firearm.
Oh my god.
So for the safety of their customers and the safety of Walmart's customers actually done this as well. For the safety of these big box stores, they're pulling these products off of their shelf because it is no longer safe for their employees to be selling.
Yeah.
It is not safe for their customers to come into the store.
I'm sorry, is unacceptable. Unacceptable to behave that way over a children's card, over anything really, but over a children's card game.
Yeah, exactly. I could see this being a thing with Magic, like that. As much as I love the Magic community,
I still think that that's unacceptable.
I do too, but the
only situation where I would not even excuse it, but where I would be like, eh, is if it was food or water during a shortage and people were panicking.
Yeah. Like I said, I could kind of see it happening more with the Magic crowd. Mm-hmm. It's who I expected to see it kind of more from, just because the player base wasn't always great for Magic. It's been a lot better lately, and it makes me much happier. But they didn't have a shortage, so it didn't happen as much.
These people, though, are the same people that during the original COVID lockdown were going out and buying toilet paper and trying to flip it for a profit. These are the exact same kind of people.
And that's what like really annoys me. That's why our store has put a limit on how many packs you can buy, just so that we can try to get that 12-year-old his pack for the week.
Put a limit on all of our Pokemon stuff. And it's because we want the community. The community that actually supported us before and during the lockdown, we want them to get the products.
Yes, exactly. And that's why like we've put a lockdown on it. The biggest part that I have to kind of say about it is I would like everybody to very seriously consider my next words. When you buy Pokemon anywhere, I don't care if it's in my store. I don't care if it is a Walmart that you happen to find the last bit of the product from. I don't care if it's a different local small game store. I don't care if it's online.
Barnes & Noble, doesn't matter.
Make sure you get a bag, and if you can see your product through that bag, get another one.
Yeah.
With how ridiculously bad it's been and how much it really does frustrate me, do not put yourselves at risk for it anymore.
And honestly,
if that means
like,
you need to stop buying Pokemon for a couple weeks, do it.
And honestly, if you're out shopping and you need to put stuff in your car, put it in your trunk. Like, don't leave it in your car because people are going to break into your car and steal it. And that is so frustrating right now that is where we're at with this.
Yeah. Like, the other day, I watched one of our regulars who is a good friend of George's, and they're slowly becoming pretty good friends of mine. And I watched him leave with his 12 packs for the day, and I literally asked him to stop where he was, went and got him a bag, put them in a bag, and then asked him to put them in his trunk.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't expect anything to really happen at our store because most of those guys don't really think about us or try to come to us for it. But with Target and Walmart now shutting down, we're one of the few like three places in town that sell like all of the Tri-Cities.
Yeah.
In Richland proper, I think we're now the only place that really sells Pokemon. And that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Like, I actually had a big conversation with George and Beth about whether we should keep carrying it.
And honestly, for all of those people that are trying to screw the community over and trying to buy up Pokemon and trying to make a profit on it, I honestly hope you don't sell anything. And then when the shortage stops, you're stuck with hundreds of dollars of unsellable product. I hope you wasted your money. I hope you wasted your time. I wish nothing but financial difficulties on you, honestly.
And it's one of those things, if I catch you...
I don't get frustrated about a lot of stuff, but that'll do it.
I catch you trying to rob somebody over Pokemon, I'm going to get involved. It's not going to be fun. I will yell at you.
Well, and there's also a reason. That's the reason we keep all of our Pokemon stuff behind the counter.
Yeah, we can. People would definitely, especially these days, walk right away with it. Yeah, hesitations.
Well, also, it prevents people from being like, oh, I saw that first. Oh, I picked that up first. You can't have it or give me this. No, we are in control of that.
I have your packs in my hand. I have your box of whatever you want in my hand.
And it honestly, like, we've got enough people watching our front door. We've got enough people doing that, you know?
We've got a pretty safe place going, but I'm still, like, even then, I'm a pretty paranoid person. I won't lie. That's my own personal thing. It still makes me nervous. It makes me nervous to watch a six-year-old walk out of our store with Pokemon, and that is really, really messed up.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, guys, stop. Just, I don't know. If you're one of those people, and you're, like, in Pokemon for the money, and you've been doing this stuff, and you happen to listen to our podcast, even if this is your first time listening to our podcast, stop. Stop that. Stop it.
Yeah.
This is a card game. This is a children's card game. Nothing about this game is worth being a really miserable person about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing about any game that is worth being a miserable person about.
No.
But this game is designed for children. Exactly. For small children. And they should be the ones that are getting to enjoy it.
Yes, exactly. I will say, though, those of you who are out there who have been doing your thing the whole time, the same way you've always been doing it, getting your few packs and getting what you want and just playing your game, thank you.
Thank you
for not being that guy.
The customer base at Adventures Underground in general has been amazing.
Very much there, the good guys.
They've been so great about us being like, hey, we're real sorry. We put a limit on these. We're not selling full boxes. We're selling packs. And they're like, no, that's great. Thank you. Like,
yeah,
the community here has been awesome. And I am with you on, I hope that those people that have been causing problems don't come to our store.
And I don't, like I said, I got no problems if you want to buy a box. I get that you want to buy a box and get your cards and get that collection going.
Yeah.
Or you want to get those new cards for building
your deck. We would love to be able to sell you a box.
Yeah. And you know what? Most of my guys who are those guys who would buy it, they'll come with their brother or their cousin and bring in an extra guy and be like, hey, we're both going to buy 12 packs because we're both going to be playing.
I've had several people who came in with a group of 5 or 6 friends.
Yeah.
And all of them bought 12 packs. And that's fine.
Yeah. We're cool with that. We're just trying to make sure people get their chance.
Yeah.
Is what we're trying to do.
It was heartbreaking. It was absolutely heartbreaking when we finally opened back up and we got our first shipment of Pokemon and we were so shorted. And we didn't...
5% allocation.
And we didn't realize that the shortage was going to continue. And we had 2 or 3 people that showed up and completely wiped us out of our stock. And then the day after, we had groups of little kids coming in. Just wanting to buy one pack of Pokemon with their birthday money or their Christmas money or their allowance. And we got to be the bad guys and be like, hey, I'm sorry, we don't have anything.
Yep. Sorry, guys. And... that, you know what, that's why I'm pretty sure we're going to keep a restriction in place for a while. As long as they keep asking my opinion on it, my opinion is going to be yes until Pokemon is overproducing.
Honestly, until we start getting 100% allocation, we will probably keep that restriction.
Yeah, it's really disappointing.
Not to be a Debbie Downer for all of our listeners, but this is a real thing that's happening in the world right now.
Not only is it happening in the world, it's happening in my town.
It's happening here in the Tri-Cities. Makes me real sad because I have, in general, the people that I interact with in the Tri-Cities have given me a fairly good, like, opinion of people in the Tri-Cities, and the fact that this is happening really makes me mad.
Also, as a final note on this, and then we'll totally leave it, stop following truckers It's rude. You make them nervous. And someone's going to get hurt one of these days. I'm not kidding. Stop following him from Walmart to Target to the next Walmart to the next Target. Stop doing that. That's also unacceptable.
Oh, yeah. Leave the truckers alone, guys. They're just doing their job. They have no idea what's in their... They have no idea what's in their trucks.
Oh, no. They normally do. But well, I got to talk to a lady who literally quit trucking because of it. Because she was responsible for all the Targets and Walmarts here in the Tri-Cities. And she would have 30 to 40 gentlemen follow her every single week. Because they knew she had Pokemon for six different stores in her truck.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Stop it. Stop being those people. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you. Ah!
Yeah.
I'm going to go scream into the void when we're done recording this. Like, I'm going to go over into that far corner and just scream.
Yeah. I'm sorry for anybody whose blood I've boiled with this talk. I'm sorry if I've made you feel uncomfortable or worried about playing Pokemon, but I want people to be aware because I do not want to see any of my people hurt.
And honestly, if you're mad because we're telling you to stop being that guy, I'm not sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sorry about that. You can...
I would be happy to give you a second chance, but stop being that guy first.
Yeah. And then maybe we'll talk.
And then we can be best friends and we'll bend over backwards to get you the stuff that you want. Like, yeah. That's how we are as a store. We will do everything in our power to fulfill any orders that we get. And we will do everything we can to make sure that you get the products you want. I'm so glad that we have not had
almost
that
never.
Happen. Like...
Like, even when I was worried about Magic's community coming back, we have yet to have that happen. Yeah. So I'm, like, again, I'm just paranoid. I'm super worried about
it. No, I get you.
Because as former GameSpyer and one of the guys who really helped promote Pokemon in our store, and a guy who still kind of sits in it, it's kind of feels like it falls on me. I'm the one, you know, like, George and I have decided to continue selling Pokemon and things like that. And that's why I'm...
Well, and
more
the thing is,
nervous about it. We're choosing to still sell this product, and I
want
to stay safe.
To continue selling Pokemon to the community. So this is for everybody. Whether or not you're that guy that's gone to Target and you're like super aggro about everything, or whether you're just a casual collector that's just trying to get Pokemon for your kids, we want to continue selling Pokemon in our store. We want to continue providing the community with these games. But if there is ever a case where our store, our customers, or our staff are endangered by it, we will immediately stop.
I have no hesitations that I will, like,
and we don't,
I will
none of us here want that to happen.
Yeah.
None of us here want that to happen, but we will not risk anybody in our community or our staff.
And it's a thing that I will straight put my foot down. Like, it will be kind of a situation. And I know that there's a couple of other people who will follow me down that kind of path of being like, no.
So, like, guys,
this is elevated.
As you're going out looking for your Pokemon cards, just don't be a dick.
Yeah. And remember, you can come hang out with us and we'll talk with you and we'll work our butts off to get it.
And we'll also commiserate with you on how obnoxious all of this is, because, oh my gosh,
we hate it too.
We hate that we're not able to get the product, because we want the product. We want to sell you the product. We're one of the few places that is still selling this Pokemon product for retail cost.
Yep.
We're not marking it up. We're not trying to swindle you out of your money. We're selling it for what we have always sold Pokemon for.
And if I don't have any, I've got a couple places I can suggest that you go check on with them. They're great local guys who are also taking the same risk we are.
Yeah.
So if I don't have any, please go support them.
Yeah.
Please go support them, because they deserve to be making that extra dollar
for
the risk they're now taking.
Infinite Frontiers.
Yep. And Collector's Corner.
Collector's Corner.
They've actually, they've got a nice little corner of Pokemon over there, which
both
is really
of which
nice.
Are in Kennewick, and they're awesome people. They're amazing small local businesses. We highly recommend shopping there.
I went
there.
Into Collector's Corner for the first time, and they were absolutely the sweetest people I had.
Yeah, like, I remember you talked about it on our Magic episode,
yeah,
I think.
They were so sweet the second that I rolled in there, like, almost instantly offered to help me, and was super cool when I was like, oh yeah, I work with another shop, I'm just here to kind of check you guys out, see what you guys got going so I can send people your way and stuff. And the second I said that, they just lit up, like, we didn't expect this kind of, you know, camaraderie from the other local businesses. And so they're really sweet over there. Go check them out if we don't have anything. Hell, if you live in Kennewick, go check them out. They're great.
They're amazing. They really
do.
Are.
They do primarily do sports ball.
I'm going to stop by there next time I'm over in Kennewick if they're open. Because I tried to swing by there the other day and they were not open when I was over there.
Oh,
so I'll catch it next time.
Yeah, don't forget to check their hours.
On the note of that on that very serious note, let's pivot back a little bit and just, guys, Pokemon is a great card game.
Yeah, you should try it. If you can catch your hands on a couple of starter decks and you've never played Pokemon, do it.
And honestly, there's a lot of, even if you can't get your hands on a deck of cards right now, there's a lot of options for online play for Pokemon too.
I was going to say, the video that I was watching right beforehand, they were like, hey, if you want to get into it, go to the Pokemon online website, download their game essentially, and it gives you a free deck. It'll send you through a tutorial, and then on top of that, you can earn other things. It very much becomes similar to Arena, where you can play to get more tokens to buy more packs or more decks or whatever else you want to be able to get a hold of. And they're way better, actually, than Magic is, where almost any paper product you buy comes with a code for online play. Oh, you bought a physical pack? Here's an electronical pack. You know, very, very cool with pushing over product from the physical into the digital, which I'm hoping eventually Wizards will smart up and do the same thing.
Yeah.
That it really, you're not going to get people who are going to spend a bunch of money on the online when they can go spend money, the same amount of money, on a physical copy that they could eventually sell if they needed to.
But also the great thing about Pokemon is, we're here for the card game, because this is what we do. We do card games. But honestly, the video games are great too.
Yeah, hit up the video games, hit up the online card game, get yourself, like, start playing with your friends there, and then when Pokemon stabilizes a little better, start getting into it. Come hang out with us and play Pokemon when we have one of our open Pokemon nights once all of this is over. Once we start events, we'll be going back to having our Pokemon nights. We'll go having our Magic nights.
We're so excited.
You know, come in, play with us. Come. I know a guy who is, I think the gentleman's pushing 60-ish. Mm-hmm. He's in the mid to late 50s. He's been playing Pokemon since it pretty much started.
Yeah.
And he is the nicest gentleman I've ever had the privilege to, like, see in a card gaming community, period. He is very much like granddad to every little kid that comes in there.
The great thing about our Pokemon community here at the store specifically is we do have those kind of players, and they look out for the kids.
Yeah.
They make sure that nobody's trying to rip kids off. They make sure that nobody's trying to take cards from kids and not do fair trades. Like, these guys, they're the granddads of the Pokemon League. And they
have no problems talking too. That's my favorite bit, is that they have no problems with being like, that's not a fair trade. Watch yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and you treat that kid right.
I love that about our community.
So great.
I know, there was the very serious talk that we had about, like, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
But our community here is awesome.
It's really great. Like I said, I don't expect to have any of these problems from our community.
No.
It's these people who are coming from outside the community.
I just want people to be aware that, like, hey,
our community's great.
The community we have here at the store, the community of people that come and play in our Pokemon nights, the community of people who actively try to buy Pokemon from us, they're amazing.
Yeah, those guys are great. Like I said, almost everything about our heavy talk, we're talking about the guys who are outside the community trying to push into it to make their quick dollar.
And they're not even trying to push into the community. They're trying to buy the product to sell. Like, they don't even care about the product. They just see dollar signs. They don't care about what the Pokemon is, how collectible it is. They don't care anything about that.
They're not in the community. They are outside that community. The communities, like any Pokemon community, I've had the privilege of, the last time I was in Seattle, I went to a small shop. Mm-hmm. They happened to be playing Pokemon that night. And it is a oddly electrifyingly great air that these groups bring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Magic used to be, you could feel like pretty downer group. It was a weird, like, ebb and flow depending on where you were, was the kind of vibe you were getting. Pokemon is always, almost always, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Super fun, super excited, super upbeat.
Everybody's jazzed. It is electricity in the air constantly. Like, people are just stoked. And that's a weird sensation as a older Magic player, where that ebb and flow was a consistent thing, to suddenly, wow, you're just happy.
You're just
the time.
Having a good time.
You guys just like your game.
Which is what I think card games should be. I think people should be hyped to sit down and play a game. I don't think it should be so serious. I don't think that people should be so offended about losing. I think it should just be like, I am here to play this game. I'm super excited to show you the cool deck that I've built, the cool cards that I have.
Exactly.
Like, let's do this.
That's why when we built our Magic community, the Pokemon community is who I looked at constantly to figure out how I could build a community and keep it good. I was like, no, these guys know how to build a good community. If I can work with what they do, and a lot of what they do is very much just cutting out the guys that are mean. Being like, no, you suck. I don't want to play against you anymore. Well, I'll go play against this guy. He doesn't want to play against you anymore.
Oh, I guess you're going to sit in the corner by yourself.
Yeah, they're very much, they very easily self-police just with polite, I don't want to play you anymore, till that person has no one to play.
Well, and I think that is the difference between a game that is primarily children-based versus a game that is adult-based. Because, like, adults have a very, sometimes adults have a very hard time being like, no, I don't want to play against you. Because then you get like the, oh, are you scared? And you, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Whereas kids are just like, no, I don't want to play with you anymore. Yeah. And then they just don't do that thing.
Yeah. I'm picking up my base. I'm taking my bat and glove and going home. I'm done with you guys.
Yeah. Like, and then like, then you get the, are you scared? And they're just like, no, I just don't want to play with you anymore.
No, I just don't like playing with you. So I'm not going to.
No, you're mean.
Yeah. And that's a good enough answer as a kid. That's a
good enough answer.
And that, yeah, I think that that's really what brings a lot of that
community.
And
I feel like it takes a lot of the wind out of a sail of like an like older teen or an adult that's just being kind of not nice to children. Where they're like, why don't you want to play with me anymore? And they're like, because you're mean. And then they just walk away and they're like.
And kids tell their friends, like, you shouldn't play that guy. He's mean. Oh, really? Is he like, maybe I'll play one. Maybe you just had a bad game with him. I'll give him a shot. And then they, you know, that second friend tries it. And then at that point, you're boned if you don't be nice to that
right,
kid.
Right.
Because that kid will be like, no, he's right. He's just mean. Don't play with him. And then every little kid's not going to play with you. You might get a couple of adults who are, but because they're part of that Pokemon community, a lot of them have no problems being, you're mean. I'm not playing with you anymore and walking away.
I'm going to go play with the 7-year-old. Goodbye.
Yeah, who's going to enjoy the game and have fun with me.
Like, I'm not here to play serious, guys. I'm here to just have fun.
And that's why I love the Pokemon community. I've seen some tournaments, like, I've never been to one, so I can't say that I felt that electricity from one. But I've watched tournaments, like, online just to be, you know,
doing my fair share of study. I've done a little bit of, like, not actively been in the room, but the just walking by the tournaments that we have had in the past, like pre-release tournaments and stuff like that.
Think about those. Yeah, I've been in those.
And there are times when it's a little bit serious, but that's usually as you get to the end brackets when people are like, oh my gosh, I might actually win kind of thing.
And that's a perfect time to get competitive, though, is when you're like in that top 8 and you're like, oh.
But by and large, the Pokemon ones, they're loud and they're boisterous and they're all having a good time. And you hear laughter coming from the back room constantly, whereas like the Magic tournaments are just silent.
It is flat silence other than the flick of a card hitting the table or somebody shuffling through their
hand. And the difference is amazingly different.
Like, and that's exactly it. Magic tournaments start that way. Pokemon tournaments get that way.
Yeah.
Like, it is very much, we're all here to have fun and just enjoy playing our game. Oh, I'm in the top 8. I might be able to take home, like, an actual decent prize pool if I, like, try over these next couple
games. But, like, even then, you get the, like, kids that get into that last 8, and they're still, like, super, they're like, ha-ha, take that! And they're just loud, and they're having a good time, and they're like, I'm gonna do this! Magic players are very much, I'm gonna tap, and then they'll be like, this is what this card does, and that's the only...
That's the communication.
That's the communication. Whereas the kids are like, I'm going to play my Blastoise and he's going to use this move. And like, they just get like super animated about it. And like...
Yeah. And it's just, it's the best. I think my favorite tournament that we had was an 8-year-old one.
Yeah.
Like an 8 or, he was 8 or 10. I don't quite remember because I know that he's 11 now. He just came in for his birthday.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes, I'm just very attentive to my regulars, and I try to make sure that they feel warm and welcome like I was when I first started here. People always paid attention that I was a regular and made me feel welcome, so I try to do the same. He won and then came up screaming to me, and he was like, look at what I pulled out of one of my packs. And he had pulled a foil Japanese alternative art Kyogre. Or not Kyogre, the other one, blue one.
Okay, I don't know. I know what a Kyogre is, so I was like, ah!
It's on the other side. He's the same generation and everything, but I cannot remember his name.
Ah, but like an awesome card.
Yeah, it was a legendary, rare, alternative art, legendary Pokemon from that generation. No, it was Kyogre. Yeah,
It was Kyogre.
I was thinking of the Goragon or whatever his name is. The other one, it starts with a G. But that was watching this little kid win his, like, second pre-release he's ever done.
Nice.
And popping something like that was like what the big difference, and hearing not just himself be excited, but you could hear the other kids screaming. You could hear some of the adults. Like, I think it was Dave who just literally was like, oh, in the back. And you're like, yeah, you knew it, Grandpa.
Well, and that's the great thing, too, right, about okay, I love our Magic community. We have fostered a really great Magic community. But you lose on a Magic tournament and you're kind of bummed. Like, yeah. You're like, man, yay, I'm glad that people are having fun, but I'm kind of bummed. You lose at a Pokemon tournament, you're like, eh, I'm kind of bummed. But then somebody wins and you're like, yeah! Like,
it becomes
like,
a spectator
everybody's
sport.
Excited. Everybody's excited for that kid or that adult that wins the tournament. Yeah. Everybody is hyped about it.
Yeah, and that's a big difference. When you are knocked out of a Magic tournament, most people, if you do, I like to try to give out my lower places prizes first and then worry about like the top eight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At the end, most people will lose and just leave.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, cool,
I'm
done.
And most people at Pokemon tournaments stick around.
To either, or the Magic players will start immediately playing other matches with other people and just not caring about the tournament anymore, yeah. Period. That's not the case for Pokemon guys. They'll sit around and watch. They'll sit around and play a couple more matches,
and again,
but still like,
I think it's the community of Magic being predominantly adults.
Yeah, versus a children's based.
Versus a game that is predominantly children's based, which there's nothing wrong with either of the two.
No.
And the energy is just different.
Yeah, and I'll never give an adult flack who's like, no, I prefer Pokemon over Magic. Cool, that's your card game you've chosen. You know what? I kind of envy you. You've probably got a little bit more of that childhood spirit left in
you. Like, honestly, if somebody was like, hey, you have to pick a card game to go play, I'd be like, cool, I'm going to go play Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's, honestly.
It's got one of the best communities, it's got one of the best rule sets, and it's just fun. I think, though, that that's where we'll...
where we'll leave it today.
Yeah, as we look at the time.
We're like, oh no!
Pokemon will probably be a lot like Magic, guys. We'll probably come back and chat about this again at some later point.
We'll probably
get
into a little bit more specifics about the different regions and the different sets and the different Pokemon. I'll have to do some research because I know nothing about anything past the original 150.
And I think that I'll probably talk with some of my Pokemon community guys and have them maybe come on and
talk
with us.
Come bring us a guest so that it's not just me going, I don't play very many games, Drew. What's this game about? Please explain it to me in detail.
I have. So this is pure scuttlebutt, my friends. But I have thought about asking another friend of ours to possibly permanently join us.
Ooh.
You know, and he's a good cat. I like him. He's real fun. He doesn't work for us anymore, though.
I mean,
that's good enough to tell Hannah who it is.
I'd be down for it, but.
I also would, but I don't know what his schedule's like. He is a pretty busy guy. He weirdly makes a stupid amount of time for me almost any time I ask. He's like, yeah, I can find some time. Like, I'm doing a pirate campaign. It was like, hey, man, you've done some similar things. I'd need somebody to help bounce my ideas off of and kind of get stuff that I'm thinking about straight.
Yeah.
And he was like, when's your next day off? This day, cool. I got this thing and this thing, and I'll be free.
I love talking to you about games because you make me excited about games. But I don't play a lot of games, and part of that's just I'm lazy. I don't want to learn new things, and I don't have the time. We're gonna talk about cool stuff next time.
Yep.
Those of you who are episodes are weird, right? We're recording today. Those of you who stopped by today saw us at the sidewalk sale. We really appreciate you stopping by. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Those of you who weren't aware that we were having a sidewalk sale this week, it will still be going on over the weekend after this episode airs. We're actually doing our birthday celebration this week.
Yeah.
We're super excited. The store is turning 14. If you didn't see my news desk episode, go back onto our archive, scroll two back from this one, and you can listen to me talk about how cool it's all going to be.
Yeah, it's been really fun so far.
We're supporting My Friend's Place, which is a local charity that's helping displaced youth in our community.
They're great. If you ever get a chance to donate to any charity, please go donate to them.
So
I have had a few friends who have gone through them, actually.
You can come through us and make a donation directly. We have a specific donation link that we can use that 100% of those proceeds go directly to My Friend's Place. We're also donating 50 cents out of every dollar book, so the clearance dollar books that we're selling, we're donating 50 cents of all the sales of those to My Friend's Place.
I didn't even know that.
And the store is matching. We can't match a ton because we are a small business, but we are matching up to $100 of donations.
Heck yeah.
To the charity. So it's going to be really, really cool.
I didn't even know that stuff. It's because I'm bad at reading my message board. That's not their fault. It's mine.
I got to find all this out because I was like, hey guys, I'm making a news desk episode. What do I need to know? Please tell me.
Fair. With all of that, I think that that means it's time to put away our cards and close up the cabinet, and we'll see you guys next week.
Next time.
Whatever. Next week.
We'll get it eventually. The next week that we record.
I would hope that by now our listeners would know when I say next week, the next week that we'll see you.
All right, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.